Welcome to all the visitors we have here today. I see we've got a number of faces here that aren't normally with us. I might have to lead you in a game of Marco Polo here with the, it sounds like we've got some kids behind us here today, so we might have to win if we have to play that game. Well, I had the opportunity this past fall to go to a couple in the church's 50th wedding anniversary party. And at this wedding anniversary party, they had a photo show set to music where they showed the events and the different things that have gone on in their life. We saw pictures of them as a young couple living separate lives. Then we saw them as a dating couple. Then we saw them as a married couple. We saw them having their own children. We saw them raising their children, and we saw their children growing up and having children. And this couple, we could see also that they were active and striving to serve God in their lives, and that they had an impact on many people over those years. It was an inspiring and encouraging event for me in several different ways. It made me envision a bigger picture of my life and the lives that we as Christians must lead. It gave me kind of this big picture view of my life. Basically, you know, whatever I was going through at the time, worrying about the rough week coming at work or whatever little trivial trials that were going on in my life, it allowed me to step back and kind of see more of an entirety, a timeline of life, if you will. So today I'd like to examine this concept of the path of life, and by examining it, find encouragement. So how do we have a good life like this church couple? Well, we have a wide variety of people here today in this room. We have a number of you who have been on the path of life for quite a while serving God. And probably if we examined your lives, we could see a lot of fruits in those lives and see quite a distance travel. We also have some who are more in the middle of the path of life here, some who are farther back on their path. Some of us maybe in the beginning stages of life where we don't have a mate yet. We might be in our 20s or 30s or our teens. Some of us may have been in the church our whole lives. Some of us may be brand new. Some of us may be baptized, and some of us maybe have not made that commitment yet. So many of you, probably all of you, have a good idea of how to have this good life, but today we're going to look at it anyway. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, and look for the answer. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Rule number one in our journey in the path of life is to trust God for our direction. God has a path in mind for us, and it's a good path. The path that he has in mind for us does not dead end or lead us into eternal the possibility of eternal danger. It leads us ultimately to his kingdom and his righteousness. Along the way, God's path prepares us and makes us ready for his kingdom with opportunities to grow. And this path also will keep us away from low-lying branches or sharp twigs, or keep us from the ditch on the side of the path, which can injure us and wound us. The difficulty is that in order for God to lead us and direct us, he tells us that we have to do a couple things. God requires us not to lean on our own understanding and do what we think autonomously from him. He wants us to become yielded and fully yielded to him as a living sacrifice, as Paul talks about in Romans 12. And this means that we can't do all the time what we want to do because we no longer live for ourselves. We need to look to God for the knowledge and understanding of what to do as well. We won't turn there, but in Psalm 119, verse 105, Psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word will help us to see what to do. And just by walking as one with him in our prayer life, our study life, and our spiritual life, we will be more tuned in to where he's directing us. So we see that trusting God and not leaning to our own understanding and acknowledging him is the first rule in our journey. Rule number two in the journey of the path of life is to remember that there are going to be obstacles along the path. I'm sure if we were to ask the 50th anniversary couple if their lives ever had held times of trial or obstacles, they would certainly tell us that it did. That is what the path is supposed to do, ready us and prepare us for a greater purpose in God. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter 1, verse 6. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 6. And we'll read 6 and 7. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Peter also tells us to not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try us. He's telling us that there will not only be trials and obstacles coming, but don't be surprised when they do come. Sometimes when trials come, we can look at the situation from a little picture perspective, wondering, why has God let this thing happen to me? Or, am I going to make it through this? How am I going to make it through this? Maybe the situation is one that persists over a long period of time, and it is a major event that tries us to our very core. When we feel like this, we need to remember this big picture view of our lives. We need to remember rule number one, to trust God and allow him to direct our path. And we need to remember rule number two, that this situation is here for a reason. There is a purpose being fulfilled in the refining of our faith. This leads us to rule number three in our journey on the path of life, which is God will see us through it all, and there will be great fruit and blessings if we trust him and allow him to direct our path. God is not unaware of the struggles that we face or what's going on in our lives. He's keenly aware because his purposes are being fulfilled. I won't turn there, but in Proverbs 5, verse 21, it says that the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders his, meaning our, paths. God also tells us in many places in the Bible that he will never leave us or forsake us. And Jesus tells us that he'll be with us always, even to the end of the age. Sometimes the path of our life turns out differently than we thought it would have originally, or maybe differently than what we would have chosen for ourselves. Maybe you've lost a job recently or going through a trial like that. Maybe you're having a problem or a difficulty in raising a child. Maybe you've been involved in a dating relationship that you wanted so badly to work out and it hasn't. Maybe you're a single person and you don't want to be single. You'd like to find someone, but you haven't yet. Maybe you're married, but not happily so. Maybe you're married and trying to have children and you haven't been able to. Maybe we've made some bad mistakes along our path thus far and have slipped off the path or injured ourselves. But we can't be discouraged and set back by these things, and we can't allow them to be an obstacle in our path. We need to remember that all things will work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God will see us through and get us to where he wants to get us if we let him take us there. And things might not be going exactly as we pictured in our lives, but there is definitely a purpose at work. Another thing that can be an encourager to us is that at whatever point we are now in our path of life, we have some distance that we can see traveled behind us. If you look at your life as a timeline, you can look back over your shoulder and see quite a bit that you've been through, even if you're in the early stages. And undoubtedly in that distance that we can see, God has been present and has been working. He's probably helped us overcome some obstacles or some trials in the past. We have to remember that during those past obstacles, we were probably just as stressed as we were going through the current obstacle. And guess what? He probably got us through that one, didn't he? Seeing this distance behind us and seeing the trials that God has gotten us through previously is a great encourager. The last part of rule number three is that there will be great fruit and blessings in our lives if we follow God. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Here David is speaking the following words to God. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God wouldn't let us go through all this if there wasn't a good reason to go through it all. There's ultimately a great reward for following God and allowing Him to direct our path. That reward isn't necessarily in this life, but the character that is built and refined from going through this journey will bring fullness of joy and true pleasures forevermore. So today we've examined the big picture of our lives by exploring this concept of a path of life. And in exploring that concept, we could see that that was manifested not only in our 50th anniversary couple, but probably in all of our lives. We've also looked at the three rules in our journey of the path of life, which is to trust God and to allow Him to direct our path. Also, there are going to be obstacles along the way in order to refine us. And very importantly, we see that God will get us through, and there will be great fruit and blessings if we trust and obey Him. If we're wrestling right now with an obstacle or a trial in our lives, or we know someone that is, let's be encouraged by these things and be encouraging to them with these things. And let's remember that God promises at the end of the journey that there will be fullness of joy and true pleasures forevermore.